Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
Stand firm, therefore. Gird your loins with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. The shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? What does it mean to walk by faith when we wage this war?
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
Turn to Romans chapter 7, if you would. Romans chapter 7. Scripture says that the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, that the spirit and the flesh are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. And every one of us in this place, every one of us who calls on the name of Christ, can know for certain that there is this ongoing struggle between flesh and spirit. Paul says it like this in verse 14, that we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold in bondage to sin. For what I'm doing, I don't understand, because I'm not practicing what I'd like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. And if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law or the standard of God, confessing that the law or the standard is good. And so now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which is dwelling in me. Now I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. Because this willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I don't want to. And if I'm doing the very thing that I do not want, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. And I'm finding then the principle that is evil, that is present in me, the one who wants to do good. And I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I'm seeing a different law in the members of my body. They're waging war against the law of my mind. And they're making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. Paul says that there is the principle of evil being present in the believer's life. There is the principle of the spirit in the believer's life that wishes to do good. We also see that believers joyfully concur with the Word of God. We look at the Word of God and we say, that's the way we want to live. We want to walk this way. That's what the believer says in his heart. That's what he says in his mind. He wants to do what God calls him to do. But how often have we had these intentions of our lives, an intention of our hearts, and we wake up one day and we're in the middle of the junk. We're in the middle of the sin. We're in the middle of the stronghold. We realize that there is a battle for our hearts and our minds. And it may be a battle in the area of pride. It may be in the area of false motives. It may be in the area of grumbling and complaining and having a critical spirit. It may be the struggle of just plain old selfishness. It might be sexual sin. It might be anger. It might be greed. It might be fear, worry, and anxiety, and doubt. It could be idolatry, it could be lying, it could be filthy language. It could be anything that you've ever struggled with. And you know, I just asked the question today is, what are we to do about it? What's a Christian to do about the war that wages in our hearts? You know, a couple of months ago we began this series on the armor of God. And we're looking at all these pieces of the armor. And I just believe that when you look at the piece of armor that we're going to look at today, which is the shield of faith, that when you walk in faith and you walk by faith, I want to tell you, you will win the war that wages. Just simply believing the promise of God. There's a couple of things so that you have to do. First is, we have to submit to God. Has your life been submitted to the overarching plan of God for you? James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God. Submit your life to everything that God has for you. Now that's going to take trust and faith, we're going to see in just a moment. But I'm to submit to God in everything. When the temptation is strong, when the battle is raging, I submit to God. Not to the junk, not to the world, not to the flesh. No, he says, submit to God. Get under God's authority. Get under God's protection. Get under God's shield. Get under God's refuge. Walk to God and put your eyes on Him. The second thing that we do is we resist the devil. James said, submit to God, resist the devil. Notice what Peter says about it in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves. Here it is. Under the mighty hand of God. You submit to the hand of God by humbling yourself. Which just simply means, I am a sinner and I cannot earn, I cannot merit, I cannot do anything to walk the Christian life in my own strength. So I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. The scripture says so that He may exalt you at the proper time. And then you cast all your anxiety on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Now, you know, there's some of us in here that need to hear that God cares for us. That God is not out to get you. That God is not out to destroy you. Matter of fact, you come into this world destroyed. He's come to save you. He's come to deliver you. He's not looking for some reason to zap you. God is not out to get you. He's not out to destroy you, trip you up. He cares for you. Cares for everything that you're going through. Everything that you're feeling guilty about, God cares about. God does not want to turn His back on you. God cares for you. You cast your anxiety on Him because He's caring for you right now. And then you're to be sober. You're to be on the alert because your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Wants to devour your life. Wants to devour your marriage. Wants to devour your children. Wants to kill you. Seeking someone to devour. But what are we to do? We're to resist him. The word resist means to stand against something. It means to oppose it. It means that when I'm walking in this life and the enemy comes with his temptation, when he comes with his words, when he comes with his schemes, I am going to resist him. I am going to stand against and oppose the enemy in the strength of God. God's given me a sword. It's called the Word of God in this warfare to speak against the enemy. It's to stand against the enemy, the principles of the enemy. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren in the world. And after you've suffered a little while, watch this. The God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will Himself perfect you. Wow. Don't talk about perfection. Well, guess what? My Bible says He wants to perfect you. And the minute you start to believe that, I want to tell you, you're going to see some amazing things happen in your life. Matter of fact, He wants to perfect you, His scripture says. He wants to confirm you. He wants to strengthen you and establish you. Isn't that what we've all been looking for? We've been looking for these things. We've been looking for confirmation. We've been looking for validation. We've been looking for favor. We've been looking to be established firm. So I submit to God. No matter what the circumstance is, I submit to Him. I resist the devil. And then he says something very significant in this. He says, resist him firm in your faith. Can't do it on your own. It's got to be by faith. You got to stand firm in faith. Now when we were looking a couple of weeks ago at Ephesians chapter 6, and please turn there if you would, Ephesians chapter 6, the scripture tells us how to stand firm, how to resist, how to submit to God. Tells us how to do that. And so we began to look a number of weeks ago at the armor of God. And the scripture says, verse 10, that we're to be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. Verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able, here it is, to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Because our struggle is not flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and powers and world forces of this darkness and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist, to oppose, to stand against, to come against, to oppose the enemy, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore. Gird your loins with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. The shield of faith. The certainty is that you're in a war and that flaming missiles are always being shot at your heart. You are in a war. And the minute that we begin to believe that again and put on this shield of faith, it's the minute that, folks, that we'll begin to see the flaming, fiery missiles of the enemy to be extinguished. He is shooting at your heart. He is shooting at your soul. He is shooting at the heart of your marriage, the heart of your spouse. He is shooting at your children today. He is shooting at the church. Wants to destroy it. Wants to kill it. And if he can't kill it, he'll pervert it. He'll come in and sneak in subtle ways. And before you know it, you're being defeated. Instead of crushing the head of the enemy, your head's getting crushed. Beat in. Because we have failed to be dressed in readiness. What is the shield of faith? What does it mean to walk by faith when we wage this war? When God appeared to Abram for the fourth time in chapter 15 of Genesis, you know what he told him? He said, listen, Abram, don't fear, Abram. I'm a shield to you. Your reward will be very great. I'm a shield to you. Your reward will be great. I'm a shield to you. I'm going to suggest something. Abraham is moving toward faith, but he hasn't been justified yet. Which tells me that this is God's work. It is God's work in your life. God made a prophetic word over Abram and said, your reward's going to be very great. Well, you know, folks, the only way you get the reward, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the only way you do that is by faith. Without faith, it's impossible pleasing, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Comes along to Abram in the Old Testament and says, Abram, your reward's going to be great. I'm a shield to you. And what he's going to find out, this father of us all, he's going to believe the impossible promise of God that he and his wife are going to have a baby in their old age. And God's going to reckon him as righteous because of the shield of faith that he'll put up in that moment to believe the impossible promise of God. God says, I'm your shield. The foundation of faith is me, he says. That who God is, and then we're going to find out what God says. And the shield of faith that extinguishes the fiery darts of the enemy in your darkest hour, in the moment that you're about to fall, I put the shield of God up by faith. And when I believe the promises of God, every time I believe, it extinguishes the missile intended to hit your heart and kill you. And rob from you and destroy your life. It's got to be all God. Got to be all God. And it's all God in Abram's life. I'm a shield to you. I want to be a shield to you. I want to protect you. I want to deliver you. I want to save you. I want to pluck you out of idolatry. I want to pluck you out of your lust, out of your filth, out of your pride, out of your selfishness. That's why he's come. That's why he's come. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. And I want to tell you, every one of us in this place wants to please God. Some of you just don't know it. But that's what God's placed in your heart. He has placed something to please the Creator, because that's why He created your heart, for Him to come and fill it. So you know what's good, a really good thing to do today? Is stop filling it with everything else and stuff it with God through faith. This faith is found in the foundation of who God is, and it also finds its power in simply agreeing with what God says. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's what faith is. Faith says that, listen, I'm not there yet, but I'm going to be, and I'm on my way to it. That's what faith says. Faith says that it's not by my might, it is not by my power, by my good works, or anything that I could offer. It is based upon the Word of God, not our activity, not the gift. It's based upon what God says about you and about me. What that simply means is that there are some things out there that God wants to accomplish in my life that I can't see, but I know He wants to do it, so I'm going to agree with it. Can't see it, but there's this conviction in my life that He's going to do what He says He's going to do. It's this hope. It's this anticipation. That's what's going to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy, the fiery missiles, is believing the overall purpose for God in my life. And I believe the promises of God, and I believe what He says of me and about me and what He intends to do in my life. That will extinguish the flaming missiles of the enemy. The missiles of guilt. The missiles of deceit. The missiles of temptation to lust. To walk in anger. To get your feelings hurt. To decide, I'm not going to ask that person to forgive me. It's based upon who God is and what God says. And the question we ask, will I believe that? Will I believe that this faith is the conviction of things not seen in my life? But only what God says. So when I put on this shield of faith, it means that I'm anticipating the work of God in my life. Whether it's the work of salvation and deliverance. And we saw just a moment ago, when this grace saved us, it wasn't of ourselves, it was the gift of God. And it wasn't a result of works that no one should boast. Because we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If you're walking in good works today without faith, your works are dead. They mean nothing. I think it's real interesting. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It doesn't say without works. It says without faith. And Lord knows there's a lot of people in this life doing a whole lot of work and activity, think they're doing something for God, but yet not believing the promises of God. You know what? When it comes down to it all that God asks you to do is believe Him and let Him work with you and in you. We were created for good works. But the only way that you could ever do good works is by believing Him first. We trust and then obey. We don't obey and then trust. Because you may never get around to trusting. You may be trying so hard to just please your God. When all He says, believe me and watch you please me. Watch me fulfill what I've always said I'm going to fulfill in your life. Watch you become the godly man, the holy woman, the godly woman, the sanctified family, the sanctified marriage. Why? Because you believe the very foundation of who God is and you're agreeing with His Word. I believe this work and I anticipate this work of God in my life for the work of salvation and deliverance. I trust Him and I put my shield of faith for the removal of anxiety over temporal concerns. That's what faith will do. It'll remove the anxiety over temporal stuff. And let's just be honest. Everything you worried about this week was nothing but temporal stuff. You worried and walked in anxiety over temporal things for the most part. And the Bible says that this faith will remove this anxiety. Matthew 6:30 on the screen. If God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown in the furnace, will He not much more do so for you? Watch, oh men of little faith. Just wait for spring in this area, and you'll see beautiful flowers. You know what I love about living where I live? Is every spring, it's always different. The same flowers don't come up. And so one year there might be tons of yellow flowers. Next day it might be purple flowers. It may be blue, purple, and yellow the next year. It may be those red little flowers with yellow in them. And they're beautiful. And there's some of them are tall and some of them are small. And I want to tell you, if He so arrays the flowers, what do you think He wants to do with you? What do you think He wants to do in your life, oh man, a little faith? The crown of creation, that's who you are. The crown of creation. It's His best masterpiece. It's His best work. And if He loves flowers enough, do you think He loves you enough to make sure that you have every need met in this life? So why do you worry? Why are you a man of little faith when you see what God does to all of His creation and what He wants to do with the crown of His creation? The Bible says, listen, you worry and you put so much anxiety in this. You say, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Well, what shall we clothe ourselves? All these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. But your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But if you'll seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. The very things that you worried about, the very things that you walked in stress over, God says, hey, I love you more than I love flowers. I love you more than the clothes I put on Solomon. I love you. And if there's a war that rages in your heart over anxiety and stress and worry, pick up the shield of faith and say, God's going to provide. He's just going to provide. Matter of fact, He's already provided, and provision is on the way, and it is happening. When I put on this shield of faith, I will see the work of salvation and deliverance. I'll see the removal of anxiety over temporal concerns. And you know what else God will do? God will banish all my timidity and all my fear. Great passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 8, if you would. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. When He got in the boat, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves, and Jesus Himself was asleep. Jesus is asleep in the boat. There's a storm raging, and He is sleeping in this boat because why? Because, well, first of all, He controls the sea, okay? So I understand that. But guess what? The same God that was in the boat is in your life, and the same God who controlled that sea and that storm is the same God that's going to control your storm. And you may think, God, why are you asleep in this? Why do I have to wait for the calming of the sea? Where are you, God? Why are you sleeping? Why does it seem like you're so far away in this circumstance? I'm in trouble, God. And that's what He said. They said, we're in trouble. He gets in this boat. He's asleep. The storm is raging. And these rough fishermen who have seen storms before think they're dying. And they came to Him and they woke Him saying, save us, Lord, we're perishing. And He said to them, why are you afraid? Why are you so timid, you men of little faith? Then He got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And these men were so amazed, they said, what kind of man is this that even the winds and sea obey Him? What did God say? Little faith. Your faith will banish the timidity and fear, even in the midst of your fiercest storm. I don't know about you, but I know that the storms that I've been through, I have wasted my time worrying about Mike Fritcher when I can just simply believe in God and receive the peace and receive the goodness of God. It's a lack of faith. It's just the bottom line. It's a lack of faith. If I put the shield of faith, the Scripture promises that the arrows of timidity and fear will be banished. It will be extinguished. I think about faith causing us to be so courageous to even do the unthinkable. In Matthew chapter 8, 22, don't turn there, but Peter, again, it's on the sea. He gets out of that boat and he starts walking to the Lord. And in that moment, he didn't think about science and he didn't think about gravity and he didn't think about weightless. He didn't think about water. He just got out on that boat and he walked out to God. In that moment, had wonderful faith until he started to see all the waves around him. And the minute you get your eyes off of Christ is the minute you start sinking. What I love about this story is they got back in the boat, and I don't believe they swam. And I don't believe he dragged him. I believe they walked back to the boat. Unthinkable. Courageous. To step out by faith and to walk on that water. I want to ask you, what is the very impossible thing that you're facing this life? And God's saying, okay, I just need you to come to me. Yeah, it's just a little distance, but it's going to be like walking on water. You think you're going to sink. You think you might die. You think you might drown. But this impossible situation, guess what? He says to you, I can do anything that you could ever dream. Will you believe that? and take the faith to do what you know you need to do to walk to Christ. This faith will extinguish the fiery missiles of the enemy. That's what it'll do. And it's just basically, folks, the message for today is, will I believe in who God is and what He has said He'll do, and then even what He says about me already? What God has already said I am. When you go to Scripture, you see that this shield of faith will give you the courage to do the unthinkable. And He'll always extinguish the fiery missiles of the enemy. But the question that I want to ask today, as we look at all those wonderful things, what did Paul do in the midst of Romans 7 to see the victory he won in his life? Because he's going to come to the end of Romans 8 and say, we overwhelmingly conquer. How'd he do that? From one man that says, I hate what I see happening in my life. I hate seeing this. That what I want to do, I don't do. And this war is waging. But what did Paul do? Let me tell you. He resisted the enemy by simply believing what God had already said about him and about this victory. This is what he believed. He believed that he was in Christ Jesus. Bottom line, Jesus in him, him in Jesus. One, connected. You know what I love about this? God comes to abide in you. He comes to connect with you. It's the whole reason why the cross, to reconcile you and be one with you. That's what your heart was created for. Paul's victory was found not in what he did, but who he was in Christ. And as a result of that, he began to live out the purposes and the destiny of his life. He began to live out that thing we saw in Ephesians. He was a man created for good works. And the only way that he could ever walk in that is he had to believe it. And the war was being won because he said, listen, I'm overwhelmingly conquering through these things. Yeah, I'm being persecuted. Yes, I'm in tribulation. Yes, it's hard on my body. Yes, it's hard on my mind. But I'm conquering. Overwhelmingly conquering. Why? Because those missiles of the enemy are being extinguished by your faith. Fiery missiles. Hits the shield. Hits that faith. And it's extinguished. Totally. It doesn't hit your heart, it doesn't hit your mind, it doesn't hit your soul, it doesn't hit your strength. Because you believe the promises of God. You've believed who you are in Christ Jesus. 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith in who God is and what God says He will do and what God has already said about you. What He's already said about you. Read something this week. This guy was talking about a caterpillar. You look at a caterpillar, and what does that look like? An ugly bug. But if a scientist takes the DNA out of that caterpillar, you know what he sees? A butterfly. The DNA says nothing but butterfly. It doesn't look like it yet. But everything that nature has placed in that caterpillar says, butterfly. It's not flying, it's not beautiful, it's ugly. But the very DNA of it says, butterfly. Why did I tell you this, folks? The spiritual DNA in your life is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you may look like a worm right now, but if you're in Christ, it's going to change. It can't help but change. What does that worm have to do? That worm has to die. It has to spin that cocoon so that the DNA can do its work and come out like a beautiful butterfly.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Just as man does.